This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Farrah.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. Time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So Stacey Abrams is the Democrat who lost the race for governor in Georgia, but she still pretends she won. It's actually delusional to a scary degree. I'm almost terrified for her mental stability. She's coming to Seattle because she's been rewarded for her failure and her inability to concede defeat. She's been rewarded with a book tour. She's got a book out. She's possibly running for president. We don't know. But she's doing the tour, and she's coming to Seattle. And she's going to be speaking at Town Hall Seattle, which is a really, really great venue. I actually really like it. The ticket sold out really, really fast. But that left some folks upset. Executive Director of Town Hall Seattle, Weir Harmon, tells King 5.
Virtually all the tickets were purchased almost immediately by our members for this event as soon as it was announced. And that would not exactly mean an equitable distribution across the city, right? This is about equity and it's about inclusion, right?
Is it? What is it? I don't even know what that means. It's about equity, right? And inclusion, right? Okay, whatever that means. I mean, really, it meant Isaiah Brown couldn't get tickets. She's African-American, and she said, as an African-American woman, the message coming from Stacey Abrams means a little bit more to me.
I think that when you are someone who identifies with the person who's speaking, it connects with you and resonates in a little bit of a different way.
So Aisha Brown and Natalie Curtis, two friends, they say they told Town Hall Seattle to make tickets available for black people, and they actually obliged.
Maybe you should prioritize some tickets for women of color, especially black women of color within this space.
They came back and said, we are making 50 tickets available for black women. Mm-hmm. So just little verbiage, things like that, it mm-hmm. makes a difference, and it makes you feel seen, and it makes you feel acknowledged.
Oh, they didn't feel seen or acknowledged until they got a carve out for special tickets. I guess then I don't feel seen or acknowledged. What about the equity, right? What about the inclusion, right? Because I'm Jewish. Can we get 50 tickets for Jews? Is that, or no? But only if a Jewish speaker comes? Okay. So Town Hall decided, as you just heard, to essentially discriminate against people by only opening 50 tickets to black women, and they quickly sold out as well, which is funny because you just said before the tickets sold out, but I guess they didn't really sell out. You had 50 extra tickets. Megan Castillo is the community engagement manager for Town Hall Seattle. She told King 5 that she trusts people who aren't African-American, that they didn't try to purchase the reserve tickets.
We're not asking for any identification. We're not going to be checking who's using these tickets. We're asking people to just, for it to be trust-based and for only black women to use the code.
Well, what? That is, I mean, what are we doing here anymore? What are we doing? So just to get this straight, if you've got a white speaker and some white dude came out or white woman came out and said, you know what? I don't feel seen or heard in Seattle as a white man. I feel like you're not treating this as inclusively as you should. There's no equity. I as a white dude didn't get to purchase tickets. You're going to have a whites only policy? That of course wouldn't work. Now I have to assume
we're just going to trust that black people are going to be okay with that message.
I'm wondering if they say that they're going to trust is a way for them to get out of any potential legal issues of discrimination. Because, look, of the people who originally purchased tickets, my assumption is black people purchased tickets originally. That there are two women who complained about it because they didn't get to get the tickets fast enough. I don't know why they didn't get the tickets. Maybe they didn't realize it was going on sale. I mean, I've certainly been in positions where I was like, oh, I didn't even know they were coming to town for a concert and I missed it. And then you go on the secondary market and you purchase there at StubHub or whatever. This is so ridiculous. But good news, one of the women who was upset, she's now happy because I guess if you're not inclusive unless you discriminate against a whole host of races.
I think that them taking the lead and being able to take some feedback, constructive feedback, and do something with it and see how positive of an impact it can have, it only helps to generate more positivity for their brand and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It helps them to actually be the change that they say they want to be.
Right.
so really holding companies and organizations accountable, but coming from a place of really wanting to work together, not to just criticize without something constructive. to help them.
I will say this. I'm told that there's white privilege. This is an example of white privilege not, I guess, working. Because can I just come out and say to Town Hall, as a Jew, I didn't get a ticket, and you're all about inclusivity.
Well, we're just going to trust that you didn't try to get a ticket, so we don't know. We're just going to trust you.
I can't. I didn't know Stacey Abrams was coming to town.
We're going to trust you, non-blacks.
Kind of ridiculous. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So a family based out of Everett has been detained near the Mexican border by ICE agents. And there's something suspicious about this story. Every aspect of the story is suspicious. We clearly do not have all the details yet. But of course, it's not going to stop some people from pretending ICE is the bad guy here. They're not, as far as I can tell. King 5 says 30-year-old Irvin Enriquez Olvera was visiting Arizona with his wife and parents when a family friend said they took a wrong turn. They encountered Border Patrol agents near the border of Mexico and the U.S., where it meets. Olvera and his parents were then detained, but his wife was not kept in custody. The family friend, Laura Sotelo Guerrera, tells King 5...
The entire family is separated in different locations because they didn't have any legal documentation to show current residency, legal residency. They were detained in Arizona.
So are they here illegally or not? That's what I cannot figure out in any of the reporting. No one is saying that. Now, Congresswoman Susan DelBene, the Democrat from the district, she put out a statement to King 5 that said, in part, they are every, speaking of this family, they are everything that is right with America, and yet they are being held against their will. I don't see the justification for this, the whole being held against their will. Yes, I don't know anyone who is being held. Put me in jail. I want to be here.
I would like to hold you, but you know, if you got to like run some errands.
I just don't understand that. Okay, are they here illegally or not? Now, I put in a request. I emailed the spokesperson for DelBene just for some more information. I called their office. They haven't gotten back to me yet. We're going to try to have her on the show. Now, that changes everything, yes? I mean, can we at least acknowledge that if this family is here illegally, there is reason for ICE to hang on to them right now as they decide what they're going to do to determine exactly what happened? I'm not automatically taking a position that because they're here illegally, we automatically deport them. I want to know some more details. And clearly, everyone's going around the issue. They're talking around the issue. Are they here illegally or not? Because, again, listen to the way that the friend talks about the ID.
The entire family is separated in different locations because they didn't have any legal documentation to show current residency, legal residency. They were detained in Arizona.
Okay. Were they not able to show it because it doesn't exist or because they left it at their hotel room in Arizona? Because for me, as someone who is here illegally, I'm under no threat of being deported. I have my ID on me at all times. I have it right now on me. It's literally here. I've got it on me at all times. I suppose it's possible that if they're here legally and they've got an ID, that I guess maybe they left it at their hotel room while driving in a car. Makes no sense to me. Now, obviously, the woman who was left, the wife, was not in custody because she's an American citizen who at least was able to prove her citizenship. Am I crazy? There's something missing from this story.
Yeah, so what, they're just walking around a corner. Oh, hey, Mr. Border Patrol agent. I just don't have my ID
on me. What
were
they doing?
Is there any other thing I can do?
The border that got the attention of the ICE agents. Now, what I don't want to have happen, and I would be annoyed by this, if they literally were doing nothing and ICE agents just said, you look suspicious. You look like a Mexican. Give me your ID. Okay, that's different. And if that's part of the story, we should know that. But number one, if they did something to raise the concerns of ICE agents, if they're here illegally, then I'm, again, a little less sympathetic to the story. And I don't know why Congresswoman DelBene would get involved without acknowledging their status.
Okay, so the wife was not detained, correct?
Correct.
So could she not say, hey, let me just, you know, run home, get this documentation that you need, bring it back, you let us out?
No, it's also possible.
What's going on
there? Here's the deal. It's possible that they are here in this country illegally, but they had a deferred deportation, right? And there presumably some paperwork that would come with that that maybe they didn't have on them. Again, I'm not taking a position either way as to whether or not something happened here that should not happen. I don't like the way Congresswoman DelBene is talking about, oh, like they're being kidnapped. They're not being kidnapped. There's got to be some reason for them to be in the in the jail cell right now in Arizona from ICE. We need more information. And it feels like people are jumping to conclusions. And with all due respect to King 5, did they not ask this family friend if they're here illegally or not? Like, you don't ask the status of the person? Because I saw this also in the Everett Herald, where and maybe I missed it, I didn't see whether or not they indicated that this family was here legally or not. That seems like an important part of this story. But we'll find out. I'm going to keep in touch on this. We've reached out to Congresswoman DelBene. I hope she comes on the show. We've had her on the show a few times. I'm always fair. And even if they're here illegally, I'm not even necessarily saying, well, go ahead and deport them. I just want some more details. 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword APP, APP, to 1-800-465-8770. And you can take the station and your favorite shows anywhere you go. You're a huge fan of Rush Limbaugh. You got to get out of the car right when he's in the middle of an amazing monologue. Just fire it up on your KTTH app. You can download it in your app store. We're available on Android or iPhone, or just text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770. I'll go ahead and shoot you over the link so you can get it. It's the easiest thing in the world. And by the way, the more of you who download the app, the better this station can perform. This actually helps the station when we see more and more people downloading the app. Text app to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So in a Facebook post that has since been deleted, but Mediaite was able to find it. Our friend Julio Rosas over at Mediaite was able to get it from an internet archive. A woman named Rebecca Parker Mankey published photos of a man at a Palo Alto Starbucks. Palo Alto is in California. He was wearing a MAGA hat. Now in this post, she claims she yelled at the dude and even asked others to harass him if they see him. Now, the post, again, via Julio Rosas, is like this. If you see him in this hat, please confront him. You do not want to be the person who didn't speak up as we slipped into fascism. I yelled at him, called the entire Starbucks to order, and yelled at him more about how it's not okay to hate brown people. He threatened to call the cops. I left after yelling at him some more. When I walked back in, after picking up my lunch, he was still there. I went back in and yelled that I had changed my mind and wanted him to call the police because I wanted to know his name, where he lived, his wife's name, and where his kids went to school. That's insane, right? That's like unstable.
You cross the line.
That to me reads mentally unstable. A witness there, Victor, spoke to NBC in the Bay Area. Yeah, I know Victor is a guy. I said, what?
He's the guy.
He's the dude?
Yeah.
He got yelled at?
And this woman comes over and she says, is that a Trump hat? I said, well, I think it is, yeah. And then she turned to the rest of the audience, the people in Starbucks, and said, hey, everybody, come over here. Let's get this guy. He's a hater. I'm calling him out. He hates brown people. He's a Nazi.
Oh, my God. I've got more of her statement. You want me to read it in the voice?
Of course.
Okay. She went on to say, the part that was really heartbreaking to me was that in a full Starbucks, I was the only person yelling at him. There were other white people there who should have called him out. It is the duty of every white person in America to stand up to this every time they see it and seen. So she obviously tried to dox this guy because she wanted to get the information of his wife and his kids in the school. Like, that's just crazy. She wanted to find out where the kids went to school so they can be harassed. The irony here and the sweet karmic justice of it all. She's the one who ends up getting doxed. People find out who this crazy woman is. And so they started to realize, oh, this crazy woman works at this music shop in the Bay Area. And guess what happened? The music shop fired her.
She go.
She is done. I'm happy. Richard Johnston is one of the owners of Gryphon Strings, telling NBC News that this woman had worked at the store as a store manager and accountant. but not anymore.
I think surprised is an understatement. Expressing what you believe is not the problem. It's attacking people for what they believe is the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's a huge problem. We now live in a country where the mere notion that someone has a different political position than you sends you into a rage in which you actually not just harass this person in front of a whole bunch of other people, but you expect the other people to join in, and you try to get the dude's kids' information. That's insane. And the sad part about this story is not what happened to poor Victor, who's clearly the victim here. But this woman probably fell deeper and deeper and deeper into that delusion where she probably thinks now that she's been fired that she's the victim in all of this. That's the sad part of this. I think she believes she is a victim. That this guy, Victor, who all he did was wear a MAGA hat, didn't say anything, didn't talk about politics at that Starbucks, said nothing. She's going to think she's the victim.
She can now begin her career as a professional activist, though.
She sounds already like a professional activist. She's actually involved in one of the progressive Democratic groups there, according to Mediaite. She's going to go around and she's going to say, you know what? This shows you how dangerous the MAGA crowd is. They came after me. This is what fascism looks like. They even got me fired from my job. Now, poor Victor didn't want to see this woman get fired. And, you know, he sounds actually like a really good dude. He just sounds like a really nice person because in this interview he goes, I don't want her to get fired. He feels bad that she's been fired. I don't. I'm done feeling bad for bad people. I have a lot of sympathy. I mean, I pretend to have a lot of sympathy and empathy because I'm a bad person. But I pretend for the sake of the radio show to be fair and nice to people. This is a bad person. This woman is a bad person. This is not okay. And if there are no societal consequences to this kind of behavior, it just happens over and over and over again. How many stories have we had just in the past couple months of people who were wearing MAGA hats getting attacked? We had one happen at Western Washington University this week. A dude just had a hat that was a MAGA hat, just walking on campus. Some guy steals it and runs away. Like, that's not okay. We had the case in California a few months ago. Same exact thing. Some woman goes nuts because she sees a MAGA hat. At what point are we all going to say enough is enough? This can't happen. Well, since society is not changing, since progressives aren't getting a hold of this issue, there needs to be some consequences, and the consequences are we now know this woman's name. We now know that she's kind of unstable, it seems, Rebecca Parker Mankey. We now know that this is how she acts. We now know that she gets triggered to the point where she demands to get information so she can harass kids at school. As if, by the way, the kids have anything to do with this. They're not little Trump supporters. We have no idea who they are.
On their Instagram, they got little MAGA hats on.
Little MAGA hats.
Little calendars.
Little MAGA backpacks. That'd be kind of cute.
I think she should have to wear a MAGA hat for 10 minutes and a picture gets posted on social media for her in the MAGA hat. That would be a good punishment.
I'm sure someone's already photoshopped that. It's just insane. And then, by the way, this happened at a Starbucks. You know what that reminds me of?
Howard Schultz.
Howard Schultz, tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're tuned in right here on KTTH as we play for you the town hall between Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks, former CEO of Starbucks, hosted by Brett Baer and Martha McCollum. I like this idea, and it's clearly a strategy from Howard Schultz. That's why he talked to us last week, to reach out to conservatives who maybe do not like the conduct of President Trump. And clearly there were a lot of conservatives who didn't like the conduct, the rhetoric of Howard, of Donald Trump. Some of them voted holding their nose because they didn't want Hillary Clinton. Some of them didn't vote for Trump at all. And so he's trying to go after that group. The question is Howard Schultz going to be able to take positions on topics like gun control, like immigration, that would bring along a sort of disillusioned Republican who doesn't like the direction Donald Trump is taking us in? And I just don't know the answer to that question. My sense is no, but I'm curious to see him try. And I certainly appreciate any candidate, because Bernie Sanders is also going to do a town hall event that we're going to play from Fox News. I certainly appreciate candidates who want to talk directly to us. That's awesome. So I'll give it a shot tomorrow. It'll be on at 5 o'clock. Don't forget, download the app so that you can listen to it once you get out of the car, once you get home.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is The Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. It's 4:30. That means it's time for The Big Local. Brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept of the segment is very simple. The media is already hyper-focused on Seattle, so we are hyper-focused on you, the communities you live in, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. However, according to the bylaws of the segment, according to the bylaws, Section 17, subsection D/13.BC3(2), I'm looking at it right now. It says we can, in fact, talk about Seattle if it is intended to mock the city of Seattle or warn people of what might happen if you pursue any kind of solution, in air quotes, to problems that Seattle is doing. And we start fully utilizing this bylaw. Because the mayoral campaign in the city of Spokane, they're talking an awful lot about Seattle. Nadine Woodward is quoted in the Spokesman Review. She is running for mayor. She says, we need to get a handle on the situation before we become Seattle. She is specifically talking about homelessness. Sean Poole, also running for mayor. He just tweeted out not long ago, earlier this afternoon, everyone should watch Seattle is dying. This is a crucial issue that Spokane is facing, and as your next mayor, I will make this the highest priority by implementing new rehabilitation and incorporation programs for our city. Everyone is looking at what is happening in this city and saying we need to do the opposite of what they're doing. We need to do something before we become Seattle. And that's an interesting point, isn't it? That's an interesting point. Because other times, certainly in Seattle's history, there have been cities all across Washington State looking at us with some envy, saying, oh man, if only we can attract businesses like Seattle is able to. And Spokane in particular has in the past said, okay, we see what's happening there. We can provide your business way better of an atmosphere. Bellevue's doing that. Kent is doing that. So I think it's particularly interesting that in Spokane, a city that should really never talk about any city in the state of Washington other than Spokane and maybe some of the surrounding areas, this is at the forefront because they see what's happening there. They see what's happening there, and they don't want to become Seattle when before they would die to become Seattle in some instances. That was pretty interesting. The full report, by the way, on what's going on is available at our sister website, MyNorthwest.com. Meanwhile, sometimes we say we care about things, but we really don't. At least we stop caring about certain things when Native American interests are potentially involved. I think part of that has to do with a sense of guilt for what the white man did to Native Americans, particularly in this region, because right now, despite this big conversation about caring about whales, we've got a tribe that's saying, eh, we would like to hunt gray whales again. And actually, it's becoming closer to a reality. Cairo 7 TV says, under a proposal that NOAA Fisheries West Coast Region announced Thursday, the tribe could hunt and land up to 2 gray whales on average per year over a 10-year period for ceremonial and subsistence purposes. Now, if this tribe actually gets this authorization to hunt gray whales, it would then go and apply for a permit. The permit would be subject to public notice and comment so people can actually get involved. Right now, it's in the judge's hand. I thought this was kind of curious. I thought this was curious because We've been saying the majesty of the whales, don't do it. We got to make sure we help them thrive. But when it comes to Native American interests, we say, oh, well, I mean, we can give up some of the whales. Now, personally, I don't care. I don't care about this issue. But it is funny how we tend to pretend we're passionate about things, except when it maybe hits one of on the progressive side, sort of the wokeness where you have to pick a side. Do you care more about the whales or more about Native Americans? You got to pick something. I mean, it's the same thing nationally. We've been having this conversation about providing, you know, floral arrangements for gay weddings or providing cakes for gay weddings. Now, clearly, woke progressives will say, I support gay people over those evil Christians who don't want to bake a cake. Okay, but what if it was a Muslim baker? And then you put a progressive activist in that position. It's like, oh, man, I really love to pander to gays, but I also love to pander to Muslims. What do I do?
Such a hard choice.
Where do I go? And so they end up having to, they haven't had to make that kind of choice when it comes to Muslims yet. So we'll see where they go, and we'll see where they end up with this. Something tells me they're going to side with Native Americans. And again, I personally don't care.
Rather have them go after orcas.
They should take the orcas too. I don't care. Whales are ugly. Now, if it was a cute animal, like a sea otter, laying on its little back, just floating, eating a fish, and being like, oh, I'm chilling. Like, they're adorable. Little baby seal, adorable. I'm all in for them. So we can't kill them, but whales are ugly.
Adult otters are mean, man.
They're all, like, I'm an adult and I'm mean.
Yeah, but you're advocating for the hunting.
Yeah.
Or for the anti-hunting of otters.
Yeah, I'm just saying
no one's
if they're
advocating
adorable.
For the anti-hunting of you.
Well, that's also not true. You should check my Twitter feed. Meanwhile, the world's second most overrated burger joint is Woo-hoo! Coming to the city of Kirkland. Shake Shack is going to open in Kirkland Urban. It's a nearly finished mixed-use development. This all according to the Kirkland Reporter. They're going to be next to the Cafe Ladro, Dough Zone, and Evergreen Salad. Evergreen Salad actually is fantastic. The excitement over Shake Shack is as silly as the excitement over In-N-Out. Don't say anything because I know tomorrow at 4:15 we'll do your stupid burger review. Red Robin? Shake Shack, which you gave a good review to.
Great review.
Is not a very good burger. It's a decent burger. Again, I take a general position that all burgers, for the most part, are good. People talk about Shake Shack as if it's a 10. When I was in Vegas a few months ago, I decided to check out the Shake Shack because they had one right next to my hotel. And I was super pumped because everyone said, oh, this is the best burger ever. I'm like, it's okay. It's fine.
Forget what you had in Vegas. It's different in Seattle. Now, a number of sources have
told me. We don't talk about that
me.
City in this segment. Dope. Say it'll
Unless
be different in Kirkland.
Okay, right. So Kirkland is getting probably a good burger deal here. That it's great. If you're listening, if you're in Kirkland, no. Day one, go to Shake Shack. The one that I had in the city that we can't say was really good. But I've had people tell me that the one, that, like Darren, you guys
Producer
know
Darren from
Producer
the morning
Darren,
show.
Yes, he said he had the one in New York and it was bad.
Yeah, Shake Shack's not very good.
No, yes.
Here's the deal. Once it opens in Kirkland, there's going to be a crazy line. If you're going to just suffer basically through a line in Kirkland, just go to Bellevue and go to Chick-fil-A, which is so much better than anything you'll get at a Shake Shack.
Yeah, but they're anti-LGBTQ.
The worst product at Chick-fil-A is better than the best product at Shake Shack.
Easy.
And since we are talking about general construction
Congrats,
projects.
Kirkland.
Oh, shut up. Construction just started on this insanely huge 86,000 square foot shopping center in Puyallup. It's called Pioneer Crossing. This, according to the News Tribune, it's going to have a Safeway, a Starbucks, and a Mod Pizza, but more is obviously expected. This kind of stuff is so good, and I love seeing this happen in some of these other cities where, for the most part, people are saying, okay, I don't want to live in the cities we don't talk about during this segment. I don't necessarily want to live in Tacoma because the pricing is starting to get too high. So they look in cities like Puyallup, which is a great place to live, except there tends not to be that big of a shopping experience. So you end up having to get into the car and driving somewhere. Something like this is awesome because, number one, it brings jobs. But number two, again, it highlights the fact that there are cities like Puyallup that are out there that people should be considered living in instead of going to these neighborhoods that are super expensive. And this is just one more reason to consider as you're looking for a home or you're looking to rent to go to a place like a Puyallup. And then finally, let's go to Bellingham. We're going all over the place for this big local. A 42-year-old man, his name is Charles Gallagher. He recently robbed a Washington Federal in Bellingham. And it's probably the weirdest story of the day because he goes in, the weapon of choice for him, the weapons, I suppose I should say, of choice, a golf club and a brick, which I wonder if he was waiting in line to talk to the cashier.
No,
he just had
sense.
A brick in one hand and a golf club in the other.
Long range, short range, a weapon for both.
At what point do you look at the guy who's waiting in line if you're a teller and just go, oh, God, please don't come to me. Please don't come to me. He's either crazy or he's going to rob us. and or maybe even both. And arguably, it's both, because he goes in, he writes a note demanding money, which, by the way, the only amount, he got $500 out of this bank robbery. But I don't think he was literally trying to rob the bank. Cops were called when they got there. He didn't have his weapons anymore. He disposed of them somewhere. He had the money on him, and he was there surrendering. He was choosing to surrender to the police. According to the Bellingham Herald, he never tried to leave the bank. According to Whatcom County Superior Court records, the Bellingham Herald says Gallagher has a previous conviction for second-degree theft from 2001. This story, other than being weird, is sad. This was a bummer of a story because he wanted to get caught and go to jail. And I couldn't help wonder what was happening in his life where he did this to choose to go to jail. Did he do it because he maybe doesn't have anywhere else to go? That's what originally what I went with. It's just, it's sad. It just really bummed me out, this whole story, all day. I've been thinking about it. I was like, that's just sad.
So now you have empathy? What's going on?
I'm pretending to have empathy because people don't. I need people to realize that I have a heart, even though I don't.
Do you think?
It just bummed me out.
Do you think he had, he was about to rob the bank and his caddy was like, I'd go with the 7-iron here.
You think his caddy was aiding and abetting this? It was a culprit?
Yeah. I think you want to get that closer to the green. I'd go with the 7-wood here.
He's the driver in the little golf cart waiting outside.
Yeah, he's got the little hat.
He's like, don't you take your foot off that gas. You're just ready. Just waiting. Just ready. Wait for me when I come out.
You know what, Phil? I think I'm going to give up the charade.
The getaway car is a golf cart that goes maybe 7 miles per hour. That'd be fantastic. You're listening to The Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-8770. If you want to text us on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to The Jason Rancho on this Thursday afternoon. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Appreciate you all tuning in and telling all your friends about the show. We haven't done this segment in a while, but it's always a lot of fun doing it.
It's time for the dumbest tweet of the day.
It's not easy combing through billions of tweets a day, but I do it. I do it, and I found, after looking at literally billions of tweets today, I found the single dumbest tweet of the day. It's a tweet by assistant professor of sociology at Washington University in St. Louis. Her name is Caitlin Collins. She said something unbelievably stupid. She was driving in her car, and she was driving past a construction site. And she took a photo of a construction sign that said, "Men working." And apparently she had a conversation with one of the construction workers, a male. Now, I'm pretty sure this conversation didn't happen, but this is how she put out the tweet. Me, what if there's a woman on your crew? Man working. What? Oh, I don't know. I'm just here. Me, are there any women on your crew? Man working. No. Me, do you think maybe they're related? Man working. Awkwardest. Face.
And that was the dumbest tweet of the day.
That is such a stupid, stupid, stupid tweet. She got ratioed so crazy. She had at the time, before she went private and protected all of her tweets, she had, and by the way, she has about 2,200, 2,300 or so followers. She had over 6,000 responses of people just mercilessly mocking her. I was one of them, so I should get a congratulations for contributing to why she went into hiding.
No, I kind of thought it was poetic.
Well, you're an idiot. What are you doing? He's getting a sound effect ready. It's because you're a dummy. That's why. Because you hold really stupid positions. Because you're the worst person in the world. So Professor Collins thinks the reason why there might not be a woman working construction is because one sign put up said men working or man working. Really? That's why women aren't going into construction? Okay. I'd love to know, Caitlin, or excuse me, Professor Collins, because she seems like the type of person who would say, call me by my professorship, because that's the kind of I worked my tail off to become an assistant professor. Call me Professor Collins. Professor Collins, why did you not get into construction work? Why did you get into teaching? You see, sometimes women don't get into certain fields, not necessarily because they're unwelcome. For whatever reason, sometimes women choose certain industries. Men sometimes choose certain industries. I know it's hard to believe this, given some of the conversations we've been having about gender. There are differences between men and women. There are. And some jobs are better suited for men, and some jobs are better suited for women. That's not a slap in the face to men or women. And it doesn't mean that there aren't clear examples of anomalies. But if you're in a position where you have to have higher levels of strength, right, disproportionate amount of strength to lift things, for example, well, a woman might not be better suited for that job. Do some women work in construction? Yeah, of course. And they're great. But there are some jobs that have a disproportionately high number of men over women and vice versa. Now, again, let's look at it through her lens, her crazy social justice lens. If there is an industry that is disproportionately represented by women, does that mean that women are somehow acting out in a sexist way against men, pushing men out of the industry? No. No, not at all. But when you look at the world through the lens of social justice, you're always looking for ways to feel slighted. And that's what she did. She has no care about women going into construction. She does not care. She does not care one bit. She's not fighting this good fight to get more women represented in construction work. She saw this as an opportunity to exploit, to push a very fringe belief. And boy, did she get called out on social media for it. So, some of the memes I can't even say on the radio without getting fired. They were brilliant. Now, if you want to see some of them, though, I can't stop you. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. You'll be able to follow me and check out some of these memes. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. That's an Unbetter tax resolution hotline. We still got 1 hour left to go. You're not going to want to miss what we've got in store. You're listening to The Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH.